This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is another podcast of World Wide Wave, the international LGBT news and current affairs show, every week on Australia's first LGBT radio station, Joy 94.9.
Surfing the globe, bringing you news, views, and current affairs for the LGBT community. This is the World Wide Wave.
Yes, it's your weekly fix of international LGBT news and current affairs. We take you around the globe one country at a time. A big thank you to Rach and Dean for Drive and Simon for bringing us the latest in local news. Full house on the panel tonight. Carlos is here.
G'day.
Hello, Alex.
Hi.
Paul's back.
Hello.
And my name is Matt. Now, over the next 2 weeks, Sport Mad Australia will be glued to television, radio and social media for updates from the Commonwealth Games on the Gold Coast, where Aussies do often excel.
Now, one area that the Commonwealth does not excel in, though, is LGBTI rights. 70% of Commonwealth countries retain colonial-era sodomy laws that criminalise same-sex acts. That's half of all countries in the world that still criminalise homosexuality. But some people are pushing for that to change.
So how can this sporting showcase be used to influence change in the Commonwealth? Who are the celebrities getting behind the project? And why is elite sport one of the last frontiers for coming out? Getting set to fire the starter guns on Gays in the Games. Tonight we are joined by Matt Hall, Project Manager of the Australia's first Pride House at the Gold Coast Commonwealth Games.
This is Dr. Sean Cole from London College of Fashion. Some things go out of style, but World Wide Wave never does. You're on Joy 94.9.
You know what I mean.
I need to tell anyone, that was Olivia Newton-John. We're getting fairly physical. If you've seen the video, she does get quite sweaty.
Yes. With that 80s attire.
Yes.
Headbands.
A message in on 0427JOY949. Thanks, 317. This is about, would you, with these privacy breaches going on, and particularly with Grindr, would you delete Grindr or similar apps? Yes, absolutely, I would. In lieu of the Facebook controversy, nothing is private or credible anymore. Enjoying the show. What about you guys? Would you delete the apps?
Well,
would you?
A colleague of mine has said, once you put it on Facebook, it's basically fair game. If you're going to put something on a computer, on the cloud, then you sort of...
I think there's a line. Whilst they do all the legal things with the, you know, terms and conditions that nobody ever reads, I think they're starting to learn that there is a moral line on how far you can push that. And certainly, again, sending out to an advertiser somebody's HIV status, I think that's way over the line.
Yeah, I think that I agree with you there. I think that crosses the line. I'm not so sure. I think people need to be careful what they put on Facebook in the first place.
True. Yeah.
And such other platforms.
I think Grindr's a slightly different story because Facebook's so universal and omnipresent that I myself struggle because it's about the only way I can stay in contact with friends overseas. Grindr's just one of several apps, you know, that I'm sorry, if they don't keep up their game, I'll go to the next one.
Whoa. Wait. Send us your message, 0427JOY949.
Taking you around the globe, one country at a time. This is your Fun Fast Facts.
And we're starting off with a couple of less positive stories, but the homosexuality activity remains a criminal offence in 36 of the 52 Commonwealth states, with two countries or regions where the death penalty still exists, namely Brunei and North Nigeria. And more than 90% of the Commonwealth citizens live in a jurisdiction where LGBTI people are criminalised, quite an incredible figure.
It's actually the bigger figure of the two, isn't it? Because we talk about, you know, more than half the Commonwealth, but it's actually 90% by population, which is who is impacted by this.
Which is far more important, really, as a figure.
I suppose I should just get the apology out of the way.
Our resident British expat, yes.
I apologise for the penal code.
The sodomy laws.
But I must say that the UK has actually written a letter to these people to take it out.
Yes.
And it was an awfully good letter.
Oh, that must have been very hard for them.
So I'm not going to apologise anymore. They've been told to take it out.
Now, a report by the Human Dignity Trust in 2015, in association with the Commonwealth Lawyers Association, claimed that countries that continue to criminalise same-sex relations are worsening the impacts of HIV. So basically, that means that up to 174 million people in Commonwealth countries are being potentially impacted by this. So,
yeah, and that's not a new story, is it? This whole denial of the existence of these people has just led to an overwhelming ignorance and stigma,
you know, not wanting to go and get a simple health check.
We do have some positive, though. I mean, there are 17 nations and territories where same-sex marriage is legal, and there's even been gains in the rights for trans people. So you've got the example of 2016, the Malaysian government allowed Malays to select the gender of their choice on their identification documents.
So I find quite interesting because a very forward-thinking country such as Thailand on these issues still denies that actual right to their third gender citizens. So it's interesting Malaysia's taking a more progressive step, despite the fact that in Malaysia, homosexuality is actually still illegal. So
there are some people working for change here, though. A UK group, the Kaleidoscope Trust, was formed in 2011 to lobby British politicians, particularly around Commonwealth rules, and of course Kaleidoscope Australia, which particularly focuses on the Asia Pacific, is a regular visitor on our show here.
Oh yes. And a further example, this came in 2014 also with the British Foreign Secretary at the time, William Hague, argued that Britain should must take a more stronger stand in defending the rights of gay and lesbian people as and make it a key plank of its relations with other Commonwealth countries. So Britain's making up for past mistakes.
We're trying.
We're talking gays in the games. It's World Wide Wave. The British Empire spread its laws around the world, including the infamous Section 377 sodomy laws. Despite the United Kingdom and a number of Commonwealth member states, including Australia, removing those ancient laws, 70% of the Commonwealth still has these laws on their books, and as we've just heard, even a few of them have the death penalty. Sport is now being used to agitate for change. The international program of having a Pride House or an LGBTI safe space at Olympic events is coming to Australia for the first time at the Commonwealth Games. Matt Hall has been tasked with creating the first Pride House at an Australian international sporting event, and we asked him how that came about.
Pride House International started at the 2010 Winter Olympics in Vancouver. And when you go to an Olympic Games or a Commonwealth Games, there's often hospitality houses that are set up by a country. So, for example, at the London Olympics, there would have been an Australia house, a New Zealand house and a Canada house. And Pride House was set up as a hospitality house, but instead of it being based on country, it was based on the LGBTIQ community, and a place for the LGBTI community to go and watch sport with like-minded individuals in a safe and inclusive environment. And it's expanded since 2010 to be at London Olympics, Rio Olympics, the Glasgow Commonwealth Games, and a couple of other international major sporting events. But this is the first time it's ever come to Australia, so we're very excited to have it on the Gold Coast for the 2018 Commonwealth Games.
And what will an athlete or their supporters experience when they go to the Gold Coast Pride House?
Inside the Gold Coast Pride House, we're running a couple of exhibitions. It's important for Pride House to not only be a safe and inclusive environment for the LGBTIQ community, but also to provide some education and awareness about LGBTI human rights. So we've got two exhibitions that will be displayed in the Gold Coast Pride House. The first is called the LGBTI People of the Commonwealth, and it's a human rights exhibition, and it's being printed up on 28 panels, and it goes through the 53 countries of the Commonwealth and speaks openly and honestly about their LGBTI human rights. So for a few of the African countries, it can be quite confronting where it's illegal to identify as LGBTI. It's actually illegal in 69% of the Commonwealth countries, it's illegal to identify as LGBTI. So a majority of Commonwealth countries still illegal to be LGBTI, with a punishable by death in a few of those countries. So we've got a human rights component of the exhibition, and then the second exhibition is called the Australian LGBTIQ Plus Sporting Trailblazers. And what we've done is we've gone and handpicked 25 Australian trailblazers that are from the LGBTI Plus community. And we've had a couple of journalists, two trans journalists, write up a narrative and supply images of those 25 trailblazers. And to be a trailblazer, it was to be the first in your field. So Ian Roberts comes to mind, the rugby league player who came out in the 1990s. He was a trailblazer for coming out as a gay rugby league player. But we've also included a lot of trans and intersex trailblazers. So people that you wouldn't necessarily have heard of, but may have been the first in Australia to participate in sport as one sex, and then they transitioned to another sex and played either the same sport or even a different sport at a national or state level.
That was Matt Hall, the project manager of the Pride House at the Gold Coast Commonwealth Games. Coming up, we find out what high-profile sporting celebrities are backing the project. This is World Wide Wave.
Hello, I'm Alan Carr, and you're listening to Joy.
Did you know that a vaccine exists which can prevent you from contracting HPV? Did you also know that this vaccine is free for all men who have sex with men up to the age of 26 in Victoria? Immunisation is the best protection against HPV for both yourself and your sexual partners. Contact your local GP or sexual health clinic to get your free HPV vaccine today.
It's only three little pricks at the end of the day.
It's time to immunise. For more information, head to betterhealthchannel.vic.gov.au/time-to-immunise. Vax. A proud Joy sponsor.
Hi, this is Robert Beachy. I'm the author of Gay Berlin, speaking from South Korea on the World Wide Wave.
where tonight we're looking at the Commonwealth Games, gaze at the Games, and let us know your thoughts, 0427 joy 949. Do you think that having openly gay athletes at the Games influences your interest in the Games? Will you watch because there's a gay athlete to see how they're going?
Depends if it's diving or not.
So it's more about the flesh. So does it have to be... So is that... would you watch the men's gymnastics regardless of whether they're gay boys? Like, is this...
Yeah. To some extent, I'd say I would. But I would also say that something less... There's something less overtly masculine about and less threatening about something like the Olympics and the Commonwealth Games in comparison to, say, the macho because of culture surrounding mainstream football. And so for me personally, I've always found the more diverse nature of the sporting shows in those events more attractive. But yeah,
for me, it's not necessarily, it's not their sexuality, it's how good they are at their sport.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of an example, but Ian Thorpe wasn't. It's not because he was, or eventually came out as gay. It's because he was an excellent swimmer that it was interesting to watch him compete.
But do you think the fact that he has come out, or others, more importantly, came out while they were at the top of their game, and you know Matthew Mitchum's a really classic example. Do you think that? How much impact do you think that has?
I think it may be for folks, you know, of our age, but for younger people out there, younger LGBTI people, it might be a little bit more important for them to see people looking for gay role models, and they'll be watching them because they're gay or because of how they identify, because they're really searching hard to find people they can look up to in that field as well. So I think maybe for the younger generation, it's especially important for them to have people identified that they can support and get behind or
follow on Instagram.
Yeah.
And it's
yeah.
relatively yeah. new phenomenon, because previously they usually only came out once they had reached their level of success.
Exactly.
And
or they've retired, yeah.
And now we're getting a generation where there are those brave souls who are coming out while they're still in the middle of their careers, so to speak.
For Ian Roberts, the example that Matt Hall gave, I think it was still brave for him to come out even when he'd retired, given the sport he'd actually come out of.
Absolutely, yeah. Okay, so the 21st Commonwealth Games start on the Gold Coast tomorrow night, and for the first time in Australia, they feature an LGBTI safe space for athletes and allies. Support for the Pride House has come from some very high-profile ambassadors. Matt Hall shares his excitement at their backing.
Yeah, we have three event ambassador or Pride House ambassadors. One of them is Matthew Mitchum. Of course, the Olympic gold medalist diver. We've also got Natalie Cook, who was a five-time Olympian and gold medalist. And our third ambassador is Jai Wallace. Jai Wallace won a silver medal in trampolining at the 2000 Sydney Olympics. And Jai's been very active in the LGBTI human rights space for some time. They've come on board as ambassadors, and we had the Pride House launch yesterday that both Natalie and Jai were involved with, being local. And we also had the CEO of the Commonwealth Games Federation, a gentleman called David Gremenberg, who came and gave a very passionate speech about LGBTI human rights in the Commonwealth.
Now let's talk a little bit about the Commonwealth, because I would think that having a Pride House at Commonwealth Games is actually in some ways more important than other games, because of all the countries, as you mentioned, all the countries in the world that do criminalise homosexuality, the majority of those are still Commonwealth countries. What, I guess, do you hope that Pride House might be able to do to influence that?
We hope to be a voice for those countries where it is still a crime to be LGBTI. We hope to run daily events that focus on LGBTI awareness and education, and it is extremely important with so much of the Commonwealth still seen as being behind the times in respect to identifying as LGBTI. We really want to highlight and put the spotlight on that not all countries have it as good as what we do in Australia. And in Australia, yes, we've only recently got marriage equality, but Australia is seen as one of the leading countries for being gay-friendly or LGBTIQ-friendly and supportive, even though we were a bit late on taking up the marriage equality. But when you think of some of the other countries in the Commonwealth where it's punishable by death, it's mortifying to think that we live in a society of today and these actions still go on.
So for athletes who might come from one of those countries where they have to hide their sexuality, how do they find out that Pride House exists? And I guess there must be challenges for them in thinking, or should I actually go along to this place which visibly identifies me as LGBTI?
There absolutely has to be confidentiality about who attends Pride House for that exact reason, as we don't know what country an athlete's from. And it's a family-friendly space, so it's not saying that if you're seen at Pride House, that 100% labels you as LGBTIQ. It's open to all people from all backgrounds, races, religions, sexualities, gender identity, and it's a family-friendly space. But there have been previous Pride Houses where there have been accidental outings of athletes just through social media. So we've got to be really careful that when people are at Pride House, that you can't just be taking photos of anyone without their permission or authority, and that confidentiality remains intact. As per how the athletes will be finding out about Pride House, we're fortunate to be supported by Goldoc, the organising committee of the Commonwealth Games, and each day they have an electronic daily newsletter that tells all the athletes what's on in the village and what's on around town on the Gold Coast during the Games. And we've been informed that they will be including Pride House on that informative newsletter to the athletes daily.
Now, you touched just before on Ian Roberts, who was one of the trailblazers coming out as a professional rugby league player. And it's really only in recent years that we've seen a quantity of openly gay athletes at the elite levels of sport. What do you think is stopping more of these athletes from being open about their sexuality?
That's a tough question about what's stopping athletes to be more open about their sexuality. And I can't answer it apart from saying that maybe society hasn't been ready for these athletes, that they haven't had previous role models to look up to give them the strength of character that they're concerned what other people may think about them if they review their sexuality. I know as an Australian rules footballer, I can personally speak about my own coming out in 2002. I did an interview with Blue Magazine and came out as an Australian rules gay footballer. And I know that I had some teammates that were concerned about sharing a locker room with me after I'd come out. Now, I'd played in the same football team as these guys for over 10 years, and it was put to them, thankfully, by one of the wives of the senior players, that Matt had, myself had been in this team for over 10 years, and in that 10 years, three times a week or four times a week, we'd shared the change room. And did I ever make them feel uncomfortable, or did I ever look at them in a way that they felt was inappropriate, or did I behave inappropriate in any way in that over 10-year period? And the answer, of course, was definitely no. Your teammates are like your family.
And from Pride House point of view, what inspired you to get involved and make this happen for Australia?
I actually saw an advertisement on Facebook. They were looking for a project manager on the Gold Coast who'd be interested in leading the Pride House Gold Coast project. So I just applied online through Facebook and then ended up having some interviews via Skype with Pride House International, who are based over in the UK, and then an entity, Team Rainbow Incorporated, which is a not-for-profit incorporated sports association that exists in southeast Queensland, were the local entity that was tasked with fulfilling a Pride House. And just through an advertisement on Facebook, I ended up getting the position as the Pride House project manager. We've had regular meetings. We were meeting once a week for the last 5 or 6 months at Goldoc offices, Goldoc being the organising committee, and we were meeting every week at their offices, and we were meeting with their staff and their management plus numerous volunteers. Everyone's a volunteer. I'm a volunteer on this project. It's not a paid project. It's a volunteer project. So human rights and LGBTI awareness and education are something that I'm passionate about.
That's Matt Hall from Pride House at the Gold Coast Commonwealth Games. And I just can't help, in my mind, and tell me if I'm wrong here, I'm thinking if I'm an athlete in a country where being gay is criminalised, I reckon it would be a really tough thought process. Do I go to this place? I mean, I think you'd get, you know, it's sort of like the angel and the devil, one on each shoulder, one saying, yes, you'll meet people, it'll be great, and the other one saying, oh, you could get caught.
And also, like at many Olympic events, there are folks who are seeking asylum for a variety of different reasons. And we could see that here this year with the Commonwealth Games. And I hope that the Pride Centre is equipped to facilitate those sorts of inquiries and with people who are, you know.
What a defection room.
Yeah, that's right. We can get them to the
safe space bike. Where they can't be dragged out by their officials.
Yeah, we just got a back door where they can disappear.
And that's how we make them Australian.
I did also like the exhibition. So they've got one which is a really positive one, Australian LGBTI trailblazers in sport. So sort of setting up that those people to aspire to or look forward to, and then sort of the warts and all. Well, this is how it is in the Commonwealth, where there's actually a lot of countries where it's really difficult to be an LGBTI person.
And yeah, and I think this has a real soft power potential, where it just the actual visibility and existence of this sort of space just helps to spread that amongst the officials, and they go back home, and you know, it just slowly breaks down those sort of attitudes in their home countries, one hopes.
Well, we have found, haven't we, in previous stories, that once you personalise being LGBTI in countries that don't have supportive
cultures
or authorities, that it actually does break down those barriers. So once you've actually got it, once you're no longer a label but actually a person, it
and also
changes.
It's important that person has won gold.
It does help. Yeah,
absolutely.
It does help.
Like Jesse Owens did in 36. Yeah.
Now, Paul, you were telling us the British have sent a letter to everybody, which is frightfully nice. Should they be doing more, and indeed should Australia be doing more?
Well, of course, they can always do more.
I mean, should. I'm saying, really, what's the point of the Commonwealth if the most you can do to affect change to, can I say, right or wrong, is, you know, for a letter to be sent?
I'm deeply offended that you should think we're the Brits have ever been wrong.
I'm not personally blaming you. I'm just saying.
But, I think you need to remember is that the Commonwealth is no longer really a political organisation.
So what's the point?
It's more like a social club, really.
Social club.
You know, you've got this, the Queen at the top, and she's even, it's not guaranteed that Prince Charles will become the head of the next Commonwealth.
I'd also, we were talking, we sort of mentioned Ian Roberts a couple of times, who was the first out gay rugby league player, and that did cause quite a stir. Indeed, at the time, I remember a friend who, he was playing for Manly Warringah, had a friend who supported them, and he actually dropped them as a team at the time. That was how homophobic that friend, or former friend, I should now say, was. There seemed to be, though, women coming out in sport or in women's sport, they seem to be that
better at it.
Yeah, well, better at it, faster at it. They're just way ahead.
In the AFL women's, there's been many athletes who have come out already. And I think there's already a couple who are...
And acceptance of that. Mm. Like, it was just, you know, a nothing type. It wasn't actually big news, whereas...
Absolutely.
We are also several years down the track as well. So women's sport has also got a higher viewing. I mean, it's more
informed.
It's more informed, but it's also got a higher profile now than it used to have.
But that should technically, I mean, if we mirror it with the men, it might make things harder to come out. But
I mean, there still
not.
Is that issue that there's no one out in the AFL yet.
Yeah. And 317's message in, diversity is the key in any medium. We do like to objectify our sporting elites, but perhaps thinking that they're cheaters in lieu of the cricket. Yes, well, might well assess things that way. This is World Wide Wave.
This is Nikki from Canada, where everybody can get married. You're listening to the World Wide Wave on Joy 94.9.
Back from 2006 when Melbourne held...
This is Ryan Reed from the International Gay Rodeo Association.
Sorry, Ryan. that was Delta with the song from the opening ceremony of the 2016.
Bit of a rousing
Games.
One.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is the celebration version.
Yeah, okay. Very
so
good.
Together we are one.
Beautiful. We are talking all things sports, gaze at the games. Now, this weekend, speaking of sports, you can be a part of it with the Proud Cricket Day. So Cricket Victoria and Proud to Play are hosting the Proud Cricket Day at Junction Oval at St Kilda, and Joy will be there. So it's a chance for all sorts of cricketing friends and sporting organisations, community partners, to come together, have a bit of fun, play a bit of cricket, and very much inclusive of the LGBTI community. So we'll be there broadcasting live on the day with some great cracking tunes. So make your way down. It's Lakeside Drive, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. this Sunday, the 8th of April, Junction Oval in St Kilda. You'd be crazy to miss it, really.
Well, they had the pink ball for the breast cancer awareness. I'd love to see a rainbow ball for cricket, see some rainbow.
That'd be quite good, spinning through the air. Yeah. Might make it harder
sure,
to hit.
Just make sure you don't put any tape on it.
You know, so. Now, messages coming in. This is an interesting one. Thanks, 317. Being gay, so we're talking about elite athletes. Being gay gives you an edge. It's about your brand and it differentiates you from the rest. It's positive from both a personal and professional perspective. It does depend on the individuals. That's a really interesting thing. And, you know, I think there are a lot of corporate sponsors, particularly waiting for somebody to come out so they can sort of, you know, be a part of it.
It would distinguish you, wouldn't it, from the rest of the pack?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think that would be very dependent on the sport you're playing. I think as a team sports, again, the classic footballs, tie sports, I think that might be more challenging because you're meant to be more cohesive unit. But I think in the individual events, I think, yes, absolutely, it could give you
a bit more cachet.
Yeah.
I think that the idea of giving you a bit more strength, I think that's true because you've overcome so much adversity to get to where you are. You've probably got that extra edge. You can swim that extra 100 metres if you've gone through coming out. That's probably not too big a deal for some folks.
317 also says that they would love to see a gay wrestler win gold. That's breaking down barriers. I'd just love to see a gay wrestler, really.
I think we all would.
Especially the Greco-Roman oil one. Yeah.
Shall we get our minds back to the show? Shall we?
Right. Okay, so where would Australia's first Pride House be without Australia's first LGBTI radio station? Matt Hall tells us how Joy is playing a part in the Gold Coast Pride House.
Yes, we're in the initial discussions with Joy about how we can involve Joy with Pride House and what that may look like and how we could possibly live stream some interviews. And we're currently in discussions and I'm extremely confident that we'll definitely be having some sort of arrangement with Joy to have Joy not only playing in Pride House, but also having the listeners from Joy being able to hear live interviews with people that are attending Pride House.
And for anybody that is heading up to Gold Coast for the Commonwealth Games, where will they find Pride House?
It's located right in the heart of Surfers Paradise. We're actually on Cavill Avenue. It's called the Rise Bar and it's number 2 Cavill Avenue in Surfers Paradise. So it's on the corner of Cavill Avenue and the Esplanade. It actually faces the beach and faces the famous Surfers Paradise sign that you see in all the postcards and when they do any live news crosses from Surfers Paradise. There's a sign on the beach and the Pride House actually faces that sign.
Excellent. We wish you a very exciting and colourful and inclusive Commonwealth Games. Matt Hall from Pride House International at the Gold Coast Commonwealth Games. Thanks for joining us on World Wide Wave.
Thank you for your time.
The other thing that I think is really exciting there, so having, if you are from a country where, you know, being comfortable about your sexuality is really difficult, to be sitting there with your friends and to be listening to a radio station that is very out and very proud and hearing some of the stories, you know, I mean, our show, that's what we do. We bring stories from around the world. But, you know, any number of shows bring all those different angles. So I think that would be really quite affirming for somebody who, you know, was from a country where, particularly where it's criminalised.
Well, again, it's personalising the being LGBTI, getting rid of the title, getting rid of the label and getting the person.
might have to get rid of the LGBTI too, because I know that confuses a lot of people as well.
Confuses me. I'm not sure what's in and what's out.
And also, that, yeah, different terms in different countries, absolutely. And but the sharing of stories is what people have commonalities with each other. They're like, oh, that's the same experience for you in your country. Oh, I can't believe, you know, we're going through the same thing at completely opposite sides of the world.
It's absolutely
quite a nice thing to think about.
There is also a bit of a push. Some news just we found just before the show, there's been a petition going around calling on countries in the Commonwealth, the 37 countries that currently criminalise, to make a change. So it's up to 100,000 people already signed. So that's pretty significant. We will pop that one on our Facebook page after the show. So if you want to go on there, add your name to the voice for change, and maybe we can swing a few of these countries.
So what's what are they actually trying to get to change? Is it to change legislation in those countries?
Yeah, so decriminalising gay sex, banning discrimination based on sexual orientation and gender identity, protecting LGBTI people from hate crimes, and consulting and dialogue with the national LGBT organisations, which is a really, you know, time and time again we've heard on this show, it can't be the outsiders, the Westerners coming in saying what they should be doing. It's got to be the empowering of the local people, the local athlete that gets inspired and goes home and says, you know, especially if they win a medal, to go home with that sort of credibility and sort of make a stand on something like LGBTI rights. That's pretty powerful stuff.
I was just thinking that even Australia's not quite all there with all of those.
Yes, yes. But we're here to fight for that one.
That's right. Start
your own petition, Paul. You're on Worldwide Wave on Joy 94.9.
Dzień dobry. I am Kylie from Poland. It's great to have a place like Joy 94.9, where we can talk about trans issues from across the globe on a worldwide wave.
A big thank you to our guest tonight, Matt Hall, the coordinator, the project manager of Australia's first Pride House at the Gold Coast Commonwealth Games. You can follow them on Facebook, which is 2018 Pride House GC on Facebook. We've posted that on our Facebook page as well, if you can't find it, W3Joy.
We'd like to thank everyone who's interacted with us on Facebook. Now, that's a long list. Josh, Roy, Sue, Scotty and the Heatmore. Now, that's W3Joy on Facebook.
I'm going to thank our podcaster, but he's sitting here in the studio, Alex.
That's me.
Thanks for all the work you do putting
Thanks,
our
Alex.
Podcast to air.
No,
subscribe and rate our podcast. Urban Dreaming is coming up next. They have Shirley Hood, who's performing in the Comedy Festival, and also Lydia Thorpe, the first Indigenous representative to the Victorian Parliament on the show. What a ripper show. We need some
music,
I think, to take us out, Paul.
How about Katy Perry? Does that sound uplifting?
I think
definitely. She's even talking about rising up.
Rise up.
From the Olympics. This is Katy Perry.
Yeah, maybe not Commonwealth, but hey. I
can write my story. I'm beyond the archetype. I won't just conform.
Thanks for listening to another podcast of Worldwide Wave, the show that takes you around the globe one country at a time. Worldwide Wave is the international news and current affairs show on Australia's LGBT radio station, Joy 94.9. You can listen live every Tuesday night from 7pm Eastern Australian Time on 94.9 FM in Melbourne or online at joy.org.au. You'll find all of our podcasts at joy.org.au/worldwidewave. Or follow us on Facebook for the latest international LGBT news. Search W3Joy on Facebook now.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.